From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a three-way trade pact is just about to get underway in East Asia. The Department of Justice has closed an investigation into the U.S. seed industry, and Tyson Foods says its chicken business turned profit in the last quarter. It's been posting losses. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then I'll read for you one of my favorite speeches. Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address 149 years ago today. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago, on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $8.41 on its close, but not settlement. Up 3 cents. The March contract's at $8.58, up 4 1/4. The May at $8.63 1/2, up 3 1/4. July wheat, $8.50 3/4, 5 cents higher. And next year's September at $8.59, up 6 3/4. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price, $8.91, down 8 3/4. December corn futures up 10 3/4 cents on the close, but not settlement price at $7.37 3/4. The March at $7.41 1/2, up 10 1/2. And May corn at $7.37 1/4, up 10 1/2 cents as well. July futures $7.27 3/4, up 12 1/2. And December futures at $6.19 1/2, up 10 3/4. In the corn pit on its close. January futures $13.94 in the bean pit, up 10 3/4 for the day. March at $13.80, 12 higher. The May at $13.66 1/4, up 14 3/4. And July soybeans $13.58 3/4, up 15 1/4. Next year's November at $12.76 3/4, up 14 1/4. Soybean meal finished at $4.26.60, unchanged. Bean oil at $47.95, up 90 cents on the day. Live cattle futures, the February contract at $130.15, up 12 1/2 cents. April were down a nickel at $132.50, and the feeders had January at $146, up 40 cents for the day. Lean hogs, $1.12 1/2 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures, $89.28 a barrel, up $2.36. The RBOB gasoline at $2.75 3/10 a cent. That's up 4 3/10 a cent on the wholesale price. Ethanol at $2.38 4/10 a cent is 3 3/10 a cent higher. And the difference between the two, the RBOB minus the ethanol, still positive today at 36.9 cents. Natural gas at $3.71 2/10 a cent. That's down 7 8/10 a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.08 1/10 a cent, up 9 4/10 a cent. Gold futures on the day at $1,734.40 an ounce, settled $19.70 lower. And the dollar at 80.87. That's down 0.37 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies and a high near 58 degrees this evening. Cloudy and a low of 43 degrees. And then for tomorrow, on Tuesday, partly sunny skies, a high of 60, calm winds becoming west-northwesterly at 6 miles an hour, and tomorrow evening mostly clear, a low of 39 on a light north-northwest wind, and sunny skies on Wednesday with a high of 61 degrees. It'll be calm, and it'll stay calm right on through Wednesday evening with a low of 42. It'll be mostly clear. Thanksgiving Day, a beautiful sunny sky, a high of 61 degrees. And Thursday evening, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 44. Friday, mostly sunny skies and 51. Friday night, mostly clear and 30. Saturday, mostly sunny and 43. Saturday evening, partly cloudy and 31. And on Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 47 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's the 19th day of November on Monday afternoon. Let's check the closing market report futures with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start the Thanksgiving week. Not bad to start with a positive week as opposed to what we've seen for the last few weeks, I suppose. Is it the beginning of a new trend or just a sideways move for the day?
Well, we're hopeful it's a changing trend here over the short term. We were due for some shorter-term cyclical lows. We saw the momentum indicators kind of kick up through here. Took a little bit of worry out of the market here over the weekend where things are a little bit more optimistic, at least starting the week out. We kind of feel we're in a position here to recover. We're not going to have a rip, roar, and bang bull market here, but we feel we've gone low enough in here and stimulated a little demand interest around, and that it's time to kind of move higher here over the short term here.
You mentioned things turned a bit more optimistic, fundamentally driven optimism then. Is there new demand someplace?
Well, we saw some talk that Asia's interested in some beans and probing around. We really didn't see any real confirmation that China canceled a bunch of purchases that was talked about there last week. You know, all the bean news seemed to be supportive, along with some bean oil sales, a little pickup in the world trade in Malaysia palm oil movement. So it's starting to pick up from the point that end users or buyers are hopefully seeing some attractive levels to get a little coverage on over the short term and through here. This week's kind of a tough week to trade. Most markets are open, you know, through Wednesday. Some of the financial close a little early. Then we've got a short session on Friday. So it could get a little choppy here once we get past tomorrow's trade.
Does that mean that you want the speculators to stand aside, or are there things to capture in the marketplace?
Well, we'd welcome some speculative buying to come back in. You know, if one's got some cash grain to buy or gotten caught a little bit long on the futures side of the equation, we saw just a lot of panic, a lot of long liquidation. Open interest went down this last price break with the uncertainty here in the U.S. and in the world. Now those fears have kind of eased somewhat, so they're more welcome to come back in and get some coverage on. Oftentimes you see some trend changes going into the three-day weekends. Oftentimes, you know, you hear the saying, the bear gets Thanksgiving, the bull get Christmas, and vice versa. The bears kind of had the upper hand here over the short term. So we're welcoming some type of recovery here. The longer-term move will hinge on the South American forecast. At the present time, no real urgency there. They're approaching 75% complete in the southern hemisphere. We need to get it all on the ground before we can start to kill it off.
It appears that, based on an article that Chris Hurt wrote earlier today, and then the numbers that have come from the livestock industry, beef cattle side in particular, that the beef cattle have done a pretty good job of contracting. They probably would not call it a pretty good job, but,
yeah.
But the contraction has happened in the beef cattle industry, that the pork producers held their own, and that the poultry producers are beginning to return to profitability, as we'll hear a little bit later in Dave Dickey's newscast this afternoon. Do you suppose demand might level out at this point for the rest of the season?
Well, domestic demand ought to hold fairly stable. You know, basis is remaining firm. Like you mentioned, livestock sector here, just the psychology of it, not having to pay $8 for cash corn has taken the edge off. We've not picking up from talking to producers that, you know, they feel a lot better about feeding, well, mainly beef and pork in general. We don't have any poultry producers we work with, but there's just that sigh of relief that, you know, the market's somewhat stable and not those higher levels. So that demand should remain strong. The thing about the feed demand equation, that's kind of a it is a miscellaneous category, and always has been and always will. Whenever you have big production years, feed demand's high, low production years, feed demand's small. But the demand side that we need to kind of address and get going again is the export side of the equation, and that's really struggling on the corn side of the balance sheet.
Can I stay domestic for just a second and probe you on your end users, the beef and the hog producers, the pork producers? How much do they think they will be impacted either by poor quality corn or poor quality DDGs coming into the marketplace?
I'm not so sure on the DDGs. I know even this last summer we saw guys had to deal with poor quality corn. Guys were looking at having to pay over $8 for corn that was not even number two corn. This is probably corn that's been around for 3 or 4 years. They've been trying to blend off, but that is a concern. We've even heard of the so-called commercials shying away from Illinois corn, wanting to rail corn in from the west, being assured that alpha toxins not mixed in with that. There was talk that one commercial sent some corn to Asia, and it showed high readings there. So they're quite sensitive of the quality of corn that we're going to be dealing with here for this 2012 crop.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Well, a couple of things to keep in mind as we head into the meeting season for the year. Put this one on your calendar, though we have not and will not for quite some time make tickets available. We'll let you know that's when it happens. March the 5th, which is the first Tuesday in the month of March, will be our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. So put that one down for your calendar at this point. We'll let you know when tickets are available. And then a couple of other things. The Ag Masters program coming up the 26th of this month and 27th right here on this campus. If you have already signed up, that's a good thing. You can always find more at the Crop Sciences Conferences website at CropSciConferences.com. You can also find the Corn and Soybean Classic series there, and you can find the Illinois Farm and Economic Summit series on the Farm Doc Daily website. Their meetings will be in the month of December. Here's Dave now with news.
In agricultural news, South Korea's trade minister today says that South Korea, China, and Japan will soon start talks for a free trade pact encompassing the three Asian economic powers. The decision to start talks will be officially announced tomorrow. China and Japan are the world's second and third biggest economies. South Korea is the 15th largest. The U.S. Justice Department has closed a formal antitrust investigation into the U.S. seed industry without pursuing charges. The Department of Justice had first demanded information from Monsanto in January of 2010, but had refused to identify the target of its investigation. The Justice Department had demanded information about Monsanto's business practices surrounding its Roundup Ready soybean. This morning, USDA released its latest inspections report for grains. Soybeans shipped were 61.99 million bushels versus 64.66 estimated by the trade. Grain inspections for corn were 14.35 million bushels versus 9.46, and for wheat, grain inspections were 11.10 million bushels versus 10.45 estimated by the trade. Argentina reported a steep rise in prices again in October, but the official inflation figures continued to come in at under half the rate cited by private economists. Argentina's consumer price index in October was up 10.2% on the year and up 0.8% on the month. That, according to the National Statistics Agency Index. However, according to a survey of a dozen economists, year-on-year inflation in October came in at 24.6%, and the month-on-month gain reached 1.82%. Tyson Foods' fiscal fourth quarter earnings rose 91% as the meat processor's chicken business returned to profitability. For the quarter ending September 29th, Tyson reported a profit of $185 million, or 51 cents a share, up from $97 million, or 26 cents a share, a year earlier. Tyson's chicken business posted a profit of $116 million compared with a year earlier loss of $82 million. The company's beef segment saw its sales decline 2.4%. Pork segment sales declined 7.8%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Well, 149 years ago today, the 19th day of November, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. The Civil War had entered its third day. And for 3 days, more than 90,000 soldiers from the Army of the Potomac and about 75,000 troops from the Army of Northern Virginia had fought at a crossroads in Pennsylvania's fruit-growing hill country. And the clash between the Union and Confederate soldiers in the market town of Gettysburg still stands as the largest land battle ever fought in the Western Hemisphere. On this day in history, President Lincoln came to the site to consecrate a cemetery in their honor. The brief Gettysburg Address marked a defining moment in the Civil War. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. The Gettysburg Address. Abraham Lincoln delivered the famous speech 149 years ago today.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. WillAg.org. We post all of our programming there not long after it is aired on our many radio stations. In fact, Commodity Week shows up there before it ever airs on a radio station. We'll record that program early this week. Dave and I will take Thursday and Friday of this week off to spend with our families, although the markets will be open on Friday. Commodity Week will record at 4:30 on Friday, Wednesday afternoon, and post it about 6 o'clock that evening for you to listen to at willag.org. on the phone line for a Monday afternoon from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Amy Murray to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Hello, Todd.
Oh, what a beautiful week it looks like it's going to be for Thanksgiving. Typically, do you know how the grain industry, or at least the Andersons there, handles grain during the week? Does it slow down for this holiday week?
Yeah, we do. And we shut down our dumps on Thursday in the office, and Friday we'll be back up and running. So
you take the one day off for Thanksgiving, as
yes,
most people
sir.
Do. The holiday extends here on campus because, we're in the business of educating kids and students.
Sure,
so
we
take 2 days because they're not back from their week off usually when spending that with their family. Tell me about the cash grain market locally.
Sure.
And what's been happening?
Well, I tell you, basis levels have firmed up as we've kind of expected here and expected probably continue to do so with the supply situation that we have both locally and throughout the U.S. here. But we have firmed up. We're seeing some stronger levels, both corn and soybeans. So that's positive, obviously, for our market.
So the price has dropped pretty substantially, and then basis has worked higher. Do you expect it will do more of the work in the future?
It should, basis-wise, just because, kind of like we talked about, just because of the lack of supply that's out there, and people are going to want to get their hands on grain, both processors and through the rail markets. Now, that being said, it has sort of sounded like processors are finding corn from, some outside areas, maybe with a little bit better quality this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. My next question was, is grain still pretty much out of position? I can't imagine it won't be all year long, so it sounds as if that still is the case.
Right. Seems to be that way.
What about soybeans?
Soybeans, kind of the same story. I don't think there's probably that much out in the country. Again, we're seeing solid basis level. SIF market is steady, which helps us here for our rail values. So that's been a pretty solid market here as well. We actually have improved soybean basis here recently.
Not so much in the country. A nice turn of phrase, but is that truly what you mean? Is that we're short, but not as short as we thought we were going to be?
Correct. But as far as actual grain in the bins on the farm, I don't think that there's probably as much as what we would like to see out there.
No, so you're thinking more of it came to town than would be usually the case.
Right.
Or a larger
percentage.
A better
than expected yields, but still not a bumper crop.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And your expectations over the coming week for basis on beans to change or not?
It'll probably just stay steady, firm where we're at. I look at that as a positive thing rather than slipping. I'd like to stay firm where we are. So.
And your bids for the day, Amy?
Today we are at 751 cash corn, 759 for December, 762 for January, fall 2013, 594 across the scale, and January 14 at 607. Cash beans today are at 1390, December 1395, January 1395 as well, fall of 13, 1252 across the scale, and January 14 at 1262. Cash wheat is at 817, and new crop July is at 821.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Murray is with the Andersons from right here in Urbana-Champaign and Champaign County. Joins us on the closing market report on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with folks up at Chesapeake Energy at the Boeing Building in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
It's National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, the first export shipment of crude oil from the U.S. to Europe left from Philadelphia. A cargo of more than 1,300 barrels of crude arrived 7 weeks later in London. The crew of the Elizabeth Watts was shanghaied because recruiting a crew transporting oil was impossible. In 1883, William Simons died, a German-born English engineer and inventor. He was a pioneer in undersea cable and the steel industry. he developed a regenerative system using waste gases to preheat fuel gases, key in the open heat furnace used to purify steel. In 1918, Charles Richard Van Hise died. A U.S. geologist, he regarded soil conservation as crucial to the well-being of the nation. In his work, The Future of Man in America, he wrote, "We should work with the agents of the earth rather than reverse their work, as we have been doing since American settlement began." And in 1998, Ted Fujita died. A Japanese-American meteorologist, he was known as Mr. Tornado for his research into severe storms. He developed a scale for measuring tornadoes on the basis of their damage, and he was the first to verify downbursts and microbursts and their impact on airplanes. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast as we make our way through this Thanksgiving week. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Oh, glad to be here, Todd.
What can you tell us about the local weather forecast?
Well, unseasonably warm temperatures will prevail from now through Thanksgiving here across Illinois, let alone much of the central U.S. A lot of that will be due to strong southerly winds out ahead of a cold front and a big trough of low pressure here in moving into the western part of the country and a substantial pool of Arctic air building across western Canada. But prior to any impact from that, we will be seeing this unseasonably warm temperatures and a continuation of generally dry conditions here. Following a strong cold front passage then on Friday morning across the Midwest here, we will see temperatures cooling back off substantially, but getting into a period more of heightened volatility in temperatures rather than any kind of prolonged temperature regime. And so we continue to watch at least more significant Arctic cold building across western Canada. And no sign right now over the next couple of weeks of that really plunging down into the Midwest with any full force.
Normally, when you have a clash of warm and cold air masses, especially like those you're talking about, when you say western Canada, there usually is some rainfall that comes along with them. Will the folks in the Dakotas manage to get some rainfall out of that particular system?
They'll be getting some snow out of the system here, but no sign of any real significant precip totals across that area, i.e. no strong blizzard or big storm system cranking up across the area. There will be at least some precipitation in the cards across that area, let alone the middle of the country, which continues to be biased on the dry side, as we've seen here recently, and at least the better opportunities for rain in areas of the Midwest and even on to the Delta states, and for that matter, portions of the plains, but not really the southern plains, is going to be next week.
Then turn your attention to South America. Tell me how conditions are there.
Bottom line here, Todd, is that there's no significant dryness or wetness issues at the present time across South America. Up in Brazil, those dryness issues back in October have certainly been solved here in November with the increase in rain activity, and more rain is expected here coming up, so that'll continue to keep growing conditions and planting conditions in good shape. Argentina is having another wet week, but this is following 2.5 weeks of dry and warmer weather that's helped allow planting progress to accelerate. So, yes, there'll be some slowdown in activity here this week with some rain activity, but it looks like less active conditions will return next week, and that should allow planting progress to resume.
Mark, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon, and that wraps it up. Thanks for being with us. Remember to visit our website at willag.org and check out our schedule. You can find links there to the Ag Masters, the Illinois Farm Economics Summit, and Corn and Soybean Classic series of meetings. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.